Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I want to flip over to James for just a moment. We will come right back to this. James chapter 4. And it's important that we bring the balance of Scripture into the discussion. Because this is a very important Scripture. It's quoted often, James 4. And let's drop down to verse 7. Maybe we should read verse 6 first. James 4, verse 6. He gives more and more, say more and more. More and more. Strength to stand against such evil desires. As the scriptures say, God sets himself against the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Verse 7. Now, if you have the King James translation, I memorized everything in King James. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. New Living Translation, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you hypocrites. Let there be tears for the wrong things you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. When you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on Him, verse 10, look at that. When you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on Him, He will lift you up and give you honor. So verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Humble yourself before God. Resist the devil. When we're praying for all kings and all who are in authority, we are not ever directed to submit to evil. Understand that. What did Moses' mom do? When the king says, kill your babies, she said, not my child. Now, I'm positive there were a lot of people who ended up saying, man, I'm not going to risk my life just to save a child. I believe there were some, maybe many, that did that. I mean, there's many that do that today. Many say, I don't have time for a child, so we should abort. I don't have money for a child, so I should abort. I don't want to be inconvenienced by a child, so we should abort. So it's very possible. I'm not sure what everybody else did, but I know what Moses' mom did. She said, I have a special child. That was before they categorized kids. You know, Andrew is classified special. But you see, that special classification that the world gives to Andrew is, well, he's different from everybody else. Hello, I am too. And you are also. Moses' mom, she's like, I have a special child. There's no way that I am going to let my child be given to the crocodiles. My child is going to live. He's a special child. And I believe that's the natural order of motherhood, that God gives that to a mom. And that's why we believe in life and why healing is so needed for those who have been hurt by abortions. Yeah, so this scripture is not saying, so humble yourself, submit yourself to evil, and resist God. No, it says, submit yourself to God and then resist evil. Now, I don't know what that says to you, but it says something to me. It says to me that I am not to resist evil in the way evil does its business, but I am to submit myself to God, and I am to be empowered by the anointing of God to have God's wisdom, guidance, and direction to know how to deal with the evil I need to resist. All of us are going to face evil. Some of us will learn quicker, sooner than later, that the sooner we submit to God, the sooner we have authority to resist the enemy. It doesn't mean the enemy isn't going to come. In fact, if you look at Jesus, you look at, he's baptized, the Holy Spirit descends like a dove, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased, then immediately he's sent where? Into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, right? And so do not think for a moment when the enemy says, well, if you were really righteous and you were really born again, you wouldn't be struggling with this thought or with this condition or with this temptation or with this whatever you're facing. The enemy will set you up and then he'll condemn you for the very charge he placed on you. Lying devil. But we're not ignorant of his devices, are we? So the enemy will come along and charge you with something and then say, you're not really righteous. You're not really righteous before God. And that's a lie of the enemy. What did Jesus do? Even when Satan quoted Scripture. So don't be shocked if there's, you know, some that quote Scripture to you that are inspired by the devil. It happens. It happens. But it happens out of context. And so Jesus simply brought context and brought the authority of the Father when he spoke the Word of God that was appropriate for the condition of the enemy's attack. And I believe this is what we must have wisdom to do. I don't always do this real well. I'm growing. You can pray for me. There's a presence of Satan that manifests, that affects me physically. Spiritually, there is a manifestation of Satan that spiritually, it's like the Spirit of God is inside of me and I feel like I could run at 100 miles an hour. I feel like I could tackle any lion or any bear. I sense inside of me this strength of God. And in my flesh, I don't always know how to respond to that. Years ago, I had an attorney. He said, Jonathan, I know you have something to say. And you're going to have something to say when this starts happening today. And I know you're going to say you're dealing with demons and you're dealing with the devil, even though somebody's sitting there in the skin. He said, I know you're going to say that. I know you're going to know that. But if you see me pulling on my tie, that means just calm down a little bit. So he tried that on me, and I'm in some meetings with him. And he said, before another meeting, we had many of them, he said, now, Jonathan, the tie's not working. I've tried the tie. It doesn't work. So I'm going to sit in such a way that no one else can see my shoe. And when I start kicking you in the shin, it's time for you to be quiet. Thank God for attorneys, for godly attorneys and for attorneys that will, they understand the law and they're able to speak the law, right? We need that. And I thank God for that. And God has always given us wonderful representation. And I was looking at this report, and I know, Joe, we talked about it. A lot of work went into what this lady did. And so I'm really thankful for that, and God uses that in a great way. But when we are facing evil, I don't know how you respond. For me, it's like a massive upset stomach. But I'm not. It's not my stomach that's upset. It's. Many people say, you know, they don't have any problem celebrating things like Halloween because they don't believe there's evil. There's evil. There's evil. A lot of evil. A lot of evil. But I'm confident of this, that the same demonic power that we look at that demoniac, he's in the garden and he's breaking chains and nobody can clothe him, nobody can restrain him. We look at that power and we go, wow, that was a madman. That was amazing. That is impossible. But then the Word of God gives us a picture of a Gideon, gives us a picture of a Samson, gives us a picture of David, and gives us a picture of each one of you in this room this morning. And when we look at what the power of darkness is doing in the world, we should say, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I am not subjective to that authority. I serve another king, and I will not be silent on my watch. But I thank God for Joe. He's already spoke up a couple times. He didn't kick me in the shin yet, but he knew. Okay, Pastor, calm down a little bit. You know, that'll be all right. And you know what? I found the longer I walk with God, the more fire I have in my belly. The more fire. It's not like as you walk with God, you become less and less qualified. If you walk and walk with God, every battle, every victory, every day is another opportunity where you gain spiritual authority over the powers of darkness. Pray for all. Pray for kings in authority. Why? Why are we going to do that? Why should we pray for kings in authority? Let's go back to Timothy and we're going to finish up. 1 Timothy 2. I urge you first of all to pray for all people as you make your request. How are you going to pray? Pray for God's mercy upon them. Pray for God's mercy. Intercede for them. Even our enemies, even non-believers, even those who are opposing us. Pray for them. Pray for God's mercy. And I actually like the King James better than this because this says, plead for God's mercy upon them and give thanks. God, you want me to be happy about this? Give thanks. Not happy for it. Not happy maybe in it, but happy that God is in it. I'm not alone in this. And so I'm to give thanks to God, and I'm to give the situation to God, knowing that God knows how to resolve whatever we're facing, right? Plead for God's mercy upon them. Give thanks and give thanks. I have to apologize. I had not prayed for these people, and I don't even know if the people that are signing these things are the people who are pushing the agenda against us. But God said, I've been talking to you about this. You need to practice what? You're preaching. I want you to pray for these people. Pray for mercy upon them and give thanks because what you're seeing is not what I made them to do. Their behavior does not illustrate my plans and purposes. So you pray for them and give thanks that I'm giving you an opportunity to be me and interact with them where they are. Oh, okay. Okay, so how are we to pray? Yes, we pray this way. For kings and all others who are in authority. Why? Why? Now this sounds almost a little selfish. So that we can live in peace and quietness. I hear sometimes, I just like a little peace. Just like a little quietness. Can we just get away from the noise for a minute? Pray this way for kings and all others in authority. We sing that song. He's still working on me. But you know what? There's another verse. He's still picking on me to keep me from what I ought to be. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You don't get one without the other. You go to the gym, no pain. You're in God's gym, pain equals gain. Say hallelujah, be happy, give thanks. That was point two. We're almost finished. Okay. Point three, if I could read my notes. There is a point three. What is the purpose? What is the end game? We know what the end game is. Verse four. Well, we should say verse three. This is good. This is good and pleases God. It pleases God. When we pray this way, this is good and pleases God our Savior, for He wants everyone, say everyone.
Everyone.
I know the enemy's going to say, are you sure you want that person living next door to you forever in heaven? Well, if they're saved, I don't want them living next door unless they're saved. They're not going to live next door unless they're saved, right? And like the wife said, Pastor, I can't put up with my husband any longer. I said, you haven't met him yet. You're the one that married him, and you knew what you know now. No, I didn't see this side of him. Well, this is just more of the side that you saw. There must have been something in you that aligned with what he is now. But you haven't met your husband yet because he hasn't fully surrendered to God. So there's hope. Amen. For there's only one God. God wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth, for there's only one God, one mediator who can reconcile, who can bring peace. There's not going to be a successful peace treaty in Iran. It's like, yeah, really, going to be peace? God knows how to do peace. He says you're going to be thrown into the pit. God changed the demons down. He knows how to get peace. You lock them up, but they're not locked up yet. He is the man, Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. Amen. The Lord is my advocate. He will rescue me from the enemy's plans, powers, strategies. You too. Let's pass the communion. Hallelujah. Tom Rouse used to rush to make it into Wednesday evening service after delivering mail all day. And he'd come flying in. And Tom would say, Pastor, do you know why I'm here? He always said the same thing. I always said the same thing. I said, why are you here, Tom? He said, because I can be. God gave me free will. And He gave me life. And so I can be. And I knew the next Wednesday night, Tom was going to say, hey, Pastor, do you know why I'm here? He did that every Wednesday night that I remember. Tom was always saying that, because I can be. Aren't you glad that you can be an overcomer? by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Hallelujah. Helena, it's great to have you with us today. Amen. 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 Praise God. God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. David, are you ready? He's ready. Praise God. He's getting ready to go to college. 18. Yeah, let's get this mic fired up. Praise God. David, why do we do communion?
We do communion to represent what Christ did on the cross for us, and we do it in a solemn agreement with us fellowshipping that we recognize that, yes, Jesus died on the cross, and that we have freedom, and that, you know, even though we may go through things during the week, even though, you know, maybe our minds are not in the same place, are not, you know, cohesive with each other, if we just ask Him to clear that right before we take communion, then I think that's just the best way to represent Jesus Christ and Him living and us living together.
Have you believe that was pretty good? I mean, he was preparing that all morning, right? I work really well with this whole family, you know, because I just believe God made all of you with something really important to share and say. And this is the way God wants to minister to the body. So Jesus, when he took the bread, he said something. Where's your bread? Go get it. Come back up here. Amen. So when Jesus took the bread, what did he say? Say it with me. This is my body. Now, you know he was standing there, right? He was standing there. So he's holding bread and he's saying, this is my body. And so for... You got to separate the cups. Did you separate?
Yeah.
It's right here? Okay. Bread first. Bread first. So when he said that this is my body, he was saying, I want you to partake of this meal and realize that you're partaking of the very life that I'm going to give you. This meal it's a covenant token. It's a covenant meal. And he did something. What did he do? He said it's broken.
And broke it.
But what else did he do?
He prayed.
Oh, he prayed. Go ahead, pray. Pray. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for this bread that we're about to take, Lord Jesus. Lord, it is you who took your life,
you,
Lord God.
Lord.
And Lord, every bone, Lord God, everything that was on your flesh, Lord, was torn for us, Lord God. Lord, help us to understand the significance of this, Lord, and help us not to ever take this for granted, Lord. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. We can receive?
Yes, we can receive.
Amen. Now, if you're in your home, you're watching live stream. Incidentally, thank you for joining us today. We would encourage you to break bread with us as well. But first, before we do that, the scripture said, let a man examine who?
Himself.
Did you notice it doesn't say, I need to examine. He looks pretty sharp, doesn't he? We need to drop our examinations of each other when we come to communion and say, this is about what Jesus did for me. It's about what God's doing in my life. So man's examine himself. Are we to examine ourselves to find out if we're perfect?
No.
That's
right. We're not perfect.
We're not. Who's the perfect one?
Jesus is God.
Jesus is the perfect one. So when we come and we examine ourselves, we are to recognize that our salvation is based on His righteousness alone and not on ours. So if you're watching today and you've never received the gift of eternal life, I would encourage you this moment to believe on the Lord Jesus. Confess with your mouth, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, I repent, I turn to God, come into my heart, be Lord of my life, and then you're welcome to break bread with us this morning. So David, what did Jesus say about the cup?
Jesus said that this cup is the testament of my blood.
Yep.
And that, you know, it will wash all sins away.
Amen. Blood of the covenant, right?
Blood of the
purchase covenant. Price. Purchase price for our salvation. And then he did what?
He prayed.
Go ahead.
Lord, we thank you for this cup, Lord, and what it represents to us, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for the blood, Lord God, the blood that, Lord, even
cleanses our
cleanses, yes, Lord, cleanses us, Lord, of all sins, Lord. Lord, it stays, Lord, up until this day, Lord God. It's forever, Lord, until you return, Lord Jesus. But Lord, this blood represents, Lord, you, Lord God, and we ask, Lord, in this time, Lord, that we'll not take it for granted. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord. Help us to, Lord, think of the things that we did, Lord, and Lord, give them to you, Lord God. Repent of them, Lord Jesus. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Here's Tom Cantor, a Jewish born-again Christian and Bible teacher, on Friendship with God.
And that's like people today who want nothing to do with being a believer. They don't want to be found in church. But when they see death approaching and they want to go to heaven, all of a sudden they become very religious, you know, and they claiming to be what they never were in their lives.
Friendship with God with Tom Cantor, Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m., right here on WCNO.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Hi, this is Apostle Joyce Cranfield with the Rosa Sharing Radio Broadcast. Join me each Saturday at 8:45 a.m. on WCNO to hear a message from the Word of God.
Free dust, he has ransomed me, his grace.